2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great. University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Your home for the best coverage of the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, and Aggies.
Y'all ready?
This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery.
Is that show, all right?
On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
All right, welcome back. Unrivaled, 97.5 VKSL Sports Zone. We are live in Provo at BYU Media Day. Final year of independence and Media Days. Next year we're going to be, I'm assuming, headed down to Dallas in some fashion. I can't imagine we're not going to blow it out huge next year because it's going to be the first year in the Big 12.
And,
looking forward to it. But one of our favorite things to do is to have kind of the state of the program, which is weird, Scott, on in a year like this, because I'm just telling you, I've been around, I've covered BYU for 15 years as a member of the media, and then having attended the school, I just, all during independence, basically, not all during independence, but having watched the Mountain West years and Bronco go through all that, and then there's always just this thing of like, hey, you're almost there, kid, but like, not really. And this year, everything is flipped. The script is totally different. There's no Tom Holmo trying to explain how an ad on the schedule to play this big team is a really big deal this year. There's none of that.
There's no putting lipstick on a pig, is what you're saying.
Exactly what I'm saying. And here's the thing: these guys know too. The best thing that they could get is a P5 invite. And they're there, and now they can just answer questions about football. And here's one of the things that came up that I was like, you know, we got to pull a couple things from Tom Holmo's state of the program. And NIL came up, and there was a really, you know, Dave McCann, who's just on the program here with us, asked him pretty straightforward. He's like, are there some issues with NIL? And it's like before he even finished, he said, yes, stuff has to change. Stuff has to change. Rules have to be changed with the NIL. Rules have to be changed with the transfer portal. It is not going well in the sense of it's out of control. It's getting out of control. So here's one of the things that stood out to me. And then knowing we were going to be talking to some of these coaches a little bit later, I ended up kind of bringing it up. But here's what Tom Holmo said. It was pretty wild. It also shouldn't be a shocker when it comes to the transfer portal. Take a listen.
I think that student athletes should have the opportunity to move if they have certain things in their life that really make it necessary, or they feel that it's a great opportunity for them. Again, there's rules that have to be put in place because there's too many rules that are being broken right now. And right now it's a free-for-all. And there's bribes and inducements and things in the portal. And that's not how it was put together.
I mean, you shouldn't be totally shocked by bribes and inducements because that's been going on forever.
But that should have been the priority.
It's all come to light now. It's just, you know, now they can do it, and it's actually not a sanction. But here's probably the bigger, I think, play you're starting to see in college football. That's commissioners from the Pac-12, George Kliavkov, and everyone else, and people like Tom Holmo going, We need to break away from the NCAA. I mean, when I hear this, that's all I think about. And the reason is so that there can be an ability to say, to have conformity. So everyone's playing under the same umbrella. Everyone's playing by the same rules, that there's a level of control over this where, you know, if you're an independent entity, like in the NFL, there's a season for free agency. There's a season for transfers. There, you know, NIL stuff can be vetted out, and there can be a way to create rules and some semblance of order to it, so that we're not, and it's not taking it away, but it's just putting it in a good place. And I'm just telling you, the more I hear this, the more I see this, the more I watch this, it just feels like college football is on a united front in saying we need to do our own deal.
There's certain players and coaches I like to talk to at any of these events, whether it be BYU or Utah, that's just like, oh, good. We're going to get a soundbite out of that guy. Fessy Satake, the passing game coordinator, wide receivers coach for BYU, sat down with him, and I asked him about this very thing because he's in the trenches when it comes to recruiting. Right?
Right.
I mean, he's one of these guys who was on the road big time. Any recruit who thanks BYU in their social media accounts, which is the thing to do, want to say thanks. Fessy Satake's right there because he's the one who probably extended the offer or, you know, hosted him on some stuff. And I asked Fessy about guys who ask. Remember when Quinton Ganter told you? He goes, dude, right off the bat, guys are asking us.
Yeah.
And I asked him about that. I said, what do you think about that when guys sit down with you? Are you getting that? Are guys asking that? Here's what he had to say about it.
Bringing it up a lot, obviously it depends on the recruit, but a lot of schools, it's been sad to see that that's been the number one thing schools go to, some schools go to entice a kid, and that's the worry about it. I don't worry about kids benefiting from their name, image, and likeness. I worry about the big players in the game and taking advantage of this new, you know, rule in place. And so, I don't know, man, it's one of those deals where if the first thing he goes to is NIL, you ain't for us, you know? And so it's been kind of a filter.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. Don't miss Cold's new season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Can you imagine that? Like, you sit down, it's almost like Google has like, hey, we ask these special questions, we want people to work for us. You go, hey, what do you think about NIL? And if they go, what can you offer me? Then they go, this isn't a BYU guy. BYU's not going to compete when it comes to the $3 or $4 million that are going to go to this guy over a couple of years. And also, I said too, I go, that's definitely not a BYU thing. That's the last thing BYU wants to be known for, is the guys who are rolling out a ton of money to get guys to come to their school.
Well, I think there's two sides to it to BYU, and one is they've been very proactive and quite in the spotlight about some of the things they've done here with the Built Bar and with all of the walk-ons. So I think the NIL is not dead at BYU. But to Fessy's point, you still recruit to your culture. Like good programs, smart programs are going to say, we have a certain type of player we know works here, and we can work around NIL when they're here, but someone that's the number one priority and the top thing, maybe that doesn't fit here. And that's a courageous place to be. It's a courageous statement to make, because you saw Nick Saban and you saw how concerned he was about Texas A&M getting all the recruits. So it's on coaches' mind. They know we got to deal with this NIL deal somehow. So I don't think you can totally ignore it, but you still have to say, maybe it's not my top priority.
Another conversation I had, sitting down with Fessy, was kind of interesting because I liked to hear about that side of it. I know these guys don't love to talk about, the NIL stuff, but in his world, when you're the guy, when you're leading up recruiting like this, it's pretty interesting to hear his perspective So I asked him about what BYU is doing. So what is it that BYU does differently maybe when it comes to this NIL space? Here's what Fessy said.
Now, there's a fine line. You can't just go anti-NIL on kids because they it's part of college football now, and they all want to benefit, and there's value to that. And obviously, I think BYU's done a good job, you know, making a point of that.
So it's an interesting mix that BYU is in right here. They're going into Power 5 conferences, which means that by force, you're going to get guys. Bigger recruits are going to be asking for bigger money, or at least what is going to get what? How can I get mine while I'm at school? And so having to balance that out with BYU is kind of an interesting thing. And I think that they can't take their eyes off of it. What's interesting is when you ask Kalani about it, he says, "Hey man, I want these guys to get what they can. You know, we want them to have some spending money and get something in their pocket for being somebody who brings a lot of visibility to the school." But how does that jive with those goals that we have up on the board? How does that work with us trying to put this thing together? And if it works, then let's make it work together. But, you know, as a coach, he can't stifle any of it. And he also, it's hard to understand, too.
Like, does it really change anything for BYU or even a program like Utah? And here's why. First of all, you're never going to get the guy that some school in Ohio State is paying $3 million or Alabama. That guy's not coming to BYU or Utah.
Right.
So you're never going to be in the market to have to do that. It's just never going to happen. So it's the guy that you're probably going to recruit. And maybe there's someone who's, you know, maybe a borderline guy. And maybe there is something above and beyond that you could kind of bump to or go to. To get that kid, you know, to come to your school. But the crazy multi-million dollar guy, you're not going to get anyways. And so why worry about it? And figure out how you can operate in the NIL world as best you possibly can. I guarantee you BYU, it's not BYU. Remember, all of NIL is not driven by the schools. It's the boosters. And I guarantee you
the players,
right. But the boosters are going to go, yeah, we'll pay the money, you know?
Yeah.
And there's some deep pockets with BYU. And I mean, you look at Phil Knight and Nike and some of these other schools, they have those boosters care and they'll do whatever they have to do to get a good recruit here. And I don't think BYU's immune to that.
No, but I will say that, you can tell it's a point of frustration, certainly for Tom Holmo. He's just like, I mean, all these guys want – they don't want to burn any calories on this thing. I mean, it's become such a big deal to have to deal with it because it's so new and it's so much information and you're trying to keep the rules. But they also – I know BYU has a lot of people knocking on their door going, can we participate in this? How can we get involved? Can I get a hold of this player? Can I do these things? And they're trying their best to do it. But it is that it's so much happening at once. It's a lot. Here's what he said. Final, the last of his little clips here when I was talking with Fessy Sataki today was recruits and how they are shopping these NIL deals.
I've seen that a lot, and quite frankly, it's a lot of schools who were maybe getting away with it before. All they're able to do now is they don't have to hide it. And, in fact, we can even do it a little more now because it's legal. And so, yeah, unfortunately, I've seen a lot of kids who – on the recruiting trail that have brought up basically like, what can you guys do for us right away when we haven't even talked about what they can do for us as well. It's just kind of a right to NIL. So I hope that changes or is regulated sometime here in the near future.
I want to see what that regulation
looks like. It ain't getting regulated. The only way, again, going back to what I said at the beginning, the only way you can regulate this is create your own entity and you're disassociated with the NCAA and in order to be a part of it, you have to adhere to a certain set of rules and bylaws agreed upon by everyone. And part of what they'll do, I'm sure, is how do you handle NIL? How do you handle all this other stuff? And you know, that's the only way, because right now these players can just go do whatever they want. And you know what? Why shouldn't they? I mean, you get all frustrated by it, but it is what it is. And can you fault a player for being smart and savvy and just saying, hey, look, there are opportunities out there for me. Where is the best opportunity? Like you go get a job and you have multiple offers and you go, what kind of compensation package am I getting for a new job? How is that any different? I mean, I don't see it any different. And people go, well, that's smart. You know, you should do that. You should look around. You should shop for what's the best potential opportunity.
Let's take a quick break and we'll come back. And also got to sit down one-on-one. We got to chat with Jaren Hall today and go back and forth a little bit, previewing the offense, some of his goals. And Christopher Brooks, everybody's wondering about what Chris Brooks is going to bring to this team from Cal and to see how he's going to do as the replacement for Tyler Allgeier. So many things to talk about, including Aaron Roderick also talking about Chris Brooks as well and straight up saying he's going to be the guy right off the bat, and we're going to see what he can do. We'll come back. More to go right here from Provo, live, Unrivaled, being broadcast. We appreciate you joining us. Johnny hooking us up all day, doing a fantastic job, and working his tail off today. So we've got a little bit more to go. We've got a ton of audio for you to hear right here from Provo. BYU Media Day continuing, live right here, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.